We have had constructive discussions. We've already engaged with the police, Public Health England, local government association, and others. We're progressing this. So I really want us to get to a point where we bottomed out, would this work in practice, dealt with all the practicalities of it. Then, if the wider circumstances permit, we would seek permission through COBRA and others to do it.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellum.
Hello.
Yes, still in quarantine, still miles apart, but still together, virtually in one room. Guys, it's good to have you back on board. After last week's excitement at the FA Cup, it was we did need a bit of time to calm down.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience, I have to say. It truly was the magic of the Cup. And looking forward to us doing it again in probably about 3 or 4 weeks' time, but at this rate.
Do you know, before last week's recording, I mentioned to my son what we were going to do and explained what Soccer Dice was. I told him we were playing out the rest of the FA Cup campaign. Anyway, we finished recording and I went downstairs and he said to me, "Who won?" And I went, "Oh, Leicester beat Arsenal in the final." And he went, "Oof, that's a right result for Leicester, isn't it?" So I went, "It's not real. It's not real." And he went, "Yeah, I know, but it's still a result for them, isn't it?"
Like father, like son.
Those genes are strong, aren't they, Jan? But this week, despite the fact there's still no football being played, yes, if you really look hard enough, you can go to far-flung corners of the world and still find irresponsible countries still playing football. But generally, in all the football that really counts and matters, no, there is still no football. But that could be about to change. There was a decision last week from the DFL which signalled an intent for German football to start again on May the 9th, even though the German government had said there will be no fans allowed into grounds until October the 24th, I think it was. But we'll talk a bit about that later. But dominating the story as far as the Premier League is concerned and most of the leagues across Europe was the meeting on Friday with UEFA, which was a 55-man conference call to tell the heads of national football leagues about what UEFA were proposing for the rest of the season and next year's European competitions. And they weren't going to let national leagues get away with just writing off the league. Jan, I'll start with you. Your team is in the third tier. UEFA's decision wouldn't mean much to any team outside of the top half of Europe's leagues. For you, is this something that is just, well, I don't care what they do. This is all something to do right at the top echelons of football. This isn't going to affect Sunderland at all.
I think it will affect Sunderland, but not immediately. I mean, this is about resolving qualification for Europe. So UEFA has effectively taken the null and void scenario off the table, which is going to be difficult for the Dutch because they've already declared it null and void. So they're going to have to do something different there, aren't they? But yeah, I suppose whatever ends up being played out in our country, the English leagues to qualify for Europe, I would imagine that that will be replicated further down the leagues. So whatever method they use to do that could well impact on Sunderland or not. I mean, we sit outside of the top six as it stands. So if you were just going to go on merit, then we don't deserve to be considered for any kind of playoff or mini tournament or anything like that. But of course, these are unprecedented times. So it could well be that there is some kind of mini tournament that involves everyone but the top two. I don't know. Then, I mean, how fair that is on everyone, I don't know. And maybe we're not here to talk about the ins and outs of solutions to the current issue. But it could well be that we're involved in that. And that could mean that we get a chance to go up. And as a Sunderland supporter, going up when you're not supposed to go up is something we used to. If you remember back in the early 90s,
yes.
When we went up by losing a playoff final, which was crazy. So, yeah, I'd be comfortable with going up when we didn't really deserve to go up.
Terry, as it stands at the moment, UEFA are really trying to push for a football method for teams to get into Europe rather than going through the coefficient route. Spain were pushing for this, which would be good news for Atletico Madrid because they're sat outside the Champions League spots but have a very high UEFA coefficient, whereas Sociedad are in the Champions League spots but have barely any UEFA coefficient. It's right that they're wanting to have a football way of qualifying for next year, but how feasible is it?
Well, I think it's completely unfeasible. I disagree manifestly with the coefficient approach, which is odd because this is the Sound of Football podcast and we love the coefficients.
Yeah.
But the coefficients are only work for regular participants in UEFA competition. So if you're applying a UEFA coefficient to a domestic competition, for example, Sociedad, their coefficient is going to be nowhere near that, and yet they're having a good season and they deserve the opportunity to try and participate. So I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not surprised that the Spanish came up with the idea because, you know, the impression that I get of the Spanish league is that they, you know, try as much as possible to protect the big clubs because that's where all the butter is on the bread. So, and not that Sociedad is a small club, but you know what I mean. So you could be comical and suggest, you know, borrowing from other sports, like maybe borrowing Duckworth Lewis or something like that and try and see if they could apply it to. But what you could do is you could try and take a formula like the coefficient, I suppose. But actually, in fairness, I think what the Spanish were proposing was looking at results from the last 5 years, weren't they? So I think maybe what they were trying to do is apply that coefficient to the league. So just take the methodology and apply it to the league. And that might not be a bad idea, but again, it would still help the richer, bigger clubs, because richer, bigger clubs tend to do quite well. It's not really necessarily really reflective of how the season goes. It rules out that prospect of one club that comes forward and has a really good, outstanding season, which they could then build upon for subsequent seasons, but are denied because of crappy coefficients. Another, a more effective way might be average points per game, which I think was also has been suggested. That seems a bit fairer.
In England, my own club, Arsenal, they've had a pretty toilet season. And yet, if we were to use the proposal that the Spanish FA have brought up, that has actually been turned down by UEFA, they'd probably qualify for the Europa League. But as Terry says, on the points per game thing, it would be Sheffield United. Now, they've had one very, very good season in the Premier League. And so, as it stands at the moment, they do deserve to play in Europe a lot more than Arsenal do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's Sheffield United and Leicester as well, who, if we went by the coefficient route, wouldn't qualify. And they've had, okay, they've had some ups and downs, but they've had more ups.
Yeah, and they've had a far better season than Man United, haven't they?
Yeah, but Man United would go in instead of them, which I don't think would be fair at all. Yeah. So I think it needs to be based on merit this season, which is what UEFA have not clarified, and certainly in the points I've read, they haven't clarified over what period, which I would imagine that's common sense, really. And I hate to sound like an old man now because I swear I'd never use the word common sense. But it has to be, your qualification for Europe for next season is based on league performance in this season. And that's the way it should be, isn't it? It shouldn't be based on league performance, you know, in the previous 4 years. That's just, there lies madness, Grim. Absolute madness. So I'd like to see something that sorts it out based on merit this year. And like I said, if that ends up being a little mini tournament and it's safe to do so, in fact, all of this comes with that caveat, doesn't it? If it's safe to do so for the players and the staff that have to go along for that, then yeah, whatever it takes. A little mini tournament might cheer us all up.
Well, can I ask a question? Sorry. Bournemouth, Aston Villa and Norwich fans need not answer this question because it doesn't apply, although it does apply to them. Why can't we just call the season as it is right now? I mean, I know why. Let me rephrase the question. What's wrong, given the context of the situation, given the awfulness that is going on around us? What is actually wrong with just saying, you know what, we're just going to call the season as it is? This league table is that. You could even maybe expand the league, maybe two or three clubs, and promote the teams from up there and keep the teams in the bottom three in the division. I mean, why can't we just do that? Wouldn't that be the more graceful thing to do?
Well, I would say that, yeah, obviously that does sound like a very fair thing to do. But unfortunately, we live in a world where fair isn't the primary motivator, especially of Premier League clubs. Promoting West Brom and Leeds into the top flight, not having any relegation, having 22 clubs for a season. The top flight was 22 clubs for a long time. We can play a 42-game season, no problem. But obviously, that means cutting the Premier League money pie 22 ways instead of cutting it 20 ways, which, when the clubs are going to be pleading poverty anyway, which they already are, that's less money that they're going to get than they were going to anyway. I mean, I'm of a mind to say just cancel it. But I think the Premier League's perhaps in a better situation than, say, the Bundesliga, whereby, although there is this pressure on them to play the games because of the money that they owe the broadcasters, there isn't the necessity to play the 90-odd games, I don't think, anyway. There's not the necessity to play the 90-odd games remaining of the season. There's only really the necessity to play the 30-odd games that would have been shown live. So if you can get some kind of mini tournament going off at the end of the season and only play 30 live games, then maybe that's the way to satisfy your stakeholders, satisfy UEFA, and satisfy the fans as well. It's to say that, okay, well, look, we've had a relegation playoff here, we've got a Europa League playoff here, we've got a Champions League playoff here. All 34 games, which, oh, look, this is just how it happens to be the number of live games that we have to show on BT and Sky. Everyone's a winner, aren't they? Would that work?
Well, yeah, as I said, I'm a fan of that approach. It's, you're right, it certainly ticks a lot of boxes with the money men or the stakeholders, as you so nicely put it. Yeah, as a football fan, it would be a great way to see the season close out like that. I mean, the end of the season's fantastic anyway. We're in a different world now, and if we have to finish the season, which we don't have to do, because there's a killer disease stalking this planet, and this football is not important. You know, I think we've covered that before, but just to be clear, football is not as important.
Yeah,
I think it would be a great way of doing it. It would be, and as I said, I'd love to see that at every level. If we were able to do it safely, I think it would be a brilliant way of doing it. And actually, it may well be, if that's a big success, that maybe, you know, the seasons change from here on in, and we do something a bit radical and different at the end of every season, just to shake things up.
Well, that's a good point, because one thing that we can be certain about is that after COVID-19 and when things start to return to normal, you know, there's going to be an awful lot of money lost in the game. There's going to be an awful lot of money lost everywhere. So it might be a good time for the Premier League to start thinking about different formats and maybe going down the post-season route, because there are really, really good ways of generating interest. I mean, they won't be able to start selling out stadiums, obviously, for some time to come. But I mean, in terms of a spectacular TV spectacle, and particularly in view of the fact that games are going to be held with reduced capacity crowds in the medium term and possibly even in the long term, that actually a way of spicing things up might be to go down the post-season route and see about getting those, not the championship, that seems a bit harsh, but certainly, you know, the Champions League spots, there's so much riding on them that it might be quite fun to do that. We've talked about it in years gone by.
We have.
This actually might be a quiet time to do it. And the precedent will, of course, be set this season if they decide to decide the season by playing actual football matches, which, again, I mean, I'm with Jan and with, you know, I suspect with you, Greg, as well. I think it's probably not a wise decision. They shouldn't play any more football matches. But I think you're right. I think they're going to do their damnedest to try. So, you know, we shall see.
In my mind, obviously, it would be quite unfair for Liverpool to have to play a playoff with City for the title. But I was thinking more perhaps, you know, like in the Paris leg of the Tour de France, where they all turn up and they let the winner win. I think if they do that, like, you know, if they all get together at Anfield and City just turn up and say, look, City, look, you're here to just lose, okay? Just make it look authentic, okay?
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I mean, we've spent many hours talking about football. I think that is the finest thing I've ever heard in my life. That would be wonderful.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
As long as everyone was in on it. Everyone knew that it was completely kayfabe, but like they all just went through with it anyway.
That's awesome. That really is.
There's actually a case for that in a very warped way, because the health risks for footballers to begin with playing in this kind of situation are going to be high enough. When you consider the more physical aspect of the game, such as tackling and headed duels and stuff like that, actually, there's some merit in going, actually, lads, what we're going to do is we're just going to make these exhibition games. you know, just to have a bit of fun, you know, just to entertain the masses. No, it's not going to happen, is it?
I love it. I like the idea of Kevin De Bruyne coming onto the pitch with a stepladder and a bucket of confetti. I like this. We can't rule out any ideas at the moment at this stage. It should all...
All right, let's chuck another one your way then. I noticed Formula E. Jan, Formula E is racing cars, which you hate.
Well, I've never heard of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in fairness, most racing fans haven't heard of Formula E either, which is possibly why they've come up with the idea of for their... I mean, I don't think it's replacing their championship, but they are organising a competition. They're going to have a games competition instead. So they're going to have a race with games, computer games, obviously, between a team of Formula E drivers and a team of top esports racers. And it's being broadcast live. And it's a really interesting idea. It's racing, and moreover, it's Formula E. So it's deeply problematic in terms of actual entertainment. But nevertheless, it's an interesting idea. I wonder whether or not maybe another option might be to move it all over to esports and get their esports teams to play out the season. That would be amazing.
Or just get some really good director on. Because, like, basically, if you only have four or five players on the pitch at once, you could just overlay four games at once. And then it just looks like there's, like, 22 players on the pitch, when really there's no more than six on the pitch at once. And you play the game out fully choreographed and have it that way. I think that's what they should with Formula E. I mean, basically, why don't they just have one car going around and then the next day they'll have the next car and then they just overlay them all on the top. You'll see some cars ghosting through others. But I think if you suspend your disbelief for a little moment, I think you could find that entertaining.
I'm glad that Terry clarified that they'd get their esports teams to do it, because for a moment I thought he was going to suggest the actual players took part in like a FIFA tournament.
I've heard it suggested. I have totally heard it suggested.
They'll be handy. I bet you there's actually, and also there's a good chance that they'll be able to find one from each of their squads who will be more than decent at FIFA.
Yeah.
More than decent at FIFA.
They do have a lot of time on their hands.
People might think that we're being flippant and silly, and yet and we are. Well, I am anyway. Nevertheless, in many ways, the idea of actually having football matches in the middle of a global pandemic for which there is no cure is actually sillier than actually playing the whole remainder of the tournament on FIFA, in my opinion. And actually, still probably the FIFA thing is probably more likely to happen at this point, I would suggest to you. I'm of the view that I don't think that there's a good chance that none of this will happen, including the Bundesliga stuff as well.
That's an interesting point, though, isn't it? Because it could well be that it is that UEFA have said, you know, you've got to decide your season on sporting merit. And they go in, think of the ideas, and it's all approved by UEFA. And then Bundesliga say, right, we're going to have our little mini tournament, or we're going to do whatever we're going to do. And that's got to get past the government. And the government can just go, yeah. Are you mental? Are you mental? Have you seen how much hard work we've put into controlling this, into actually coming away with some real results, if you like, in tackling the virus in Germany? If you look at that, conversely, how it's been happening in the UK, obviously we've suffered quite badly. And listening to what the PM was saying today, he is, it seems, in no mind for us to rush back to anything because we can't afford a second wave. So, you know, all this could well be, you know, just pie in the sky anyway. The idea of a mini tournament or the idea of a FIFA tournament could hold equal weight, because when it comes across the government's desk, they're just going to go, no, we can't have collections of people over two. We're not going to have that. And you're talking about putting at least 22 people into a confined space and play a game, a contact sport. I think the sporting authorities might find that they can dream up all these things, but the reality is, the cold hard facts are that they have to abide by the law of the land. And if the law of the land says no, then they ain't finishing the season, which I think that, well, I'd hope they are considering as one possible outcome.
The Bundesliga have said that they're going back on May the 9th, if they're allowed to. There's obviously been some outcry from fan groups there, from ultra groups that are opposed to Geisterspiele. Have you heard anything that would suggest that May the 9th is likely, or is that given the fact that Germany is coming out of lockdown at the moment?
They are coming out of lockdown, but very, very slowly, and they're probably a ways away from anybody else being able to do what the Bundesliga, what the DFL are proposing that they do in terms of mass gatherings. If I understand correctly, the German parliament are due to vote on this matter, I think April the 30th, something like that, not far away. And if they decide to allow it, then obviously the Bundesliga will proceed. But I would be very surprised if it happened on May the 9th. It's been said by players more than anything else that they would really still need a good couple of weeks preparation from where they are currently to really be able to play a competitive football match safely, COVID-19 notwithstanding, just simply the whole business of being fit enough and sure. conditioned enough to be able to do that. And bearing in mind that at the moment, while teams are back in training, they are socially distancing. So depending on where you are in the country, depends on how many groups that you can assemble in to train together. So, but it's really no more than seven. So they're not able to go through set pieces and routines and go through tactics and train as a team at the moment. None of them are. So I would suggest that they're probably a ways away. And I think optimistically, we're probably talking maybe the end of May. Equally, I think it's a good possibility that the government will just say, look, this is ridiculous, and say we can't be putting so many people at risk. I mean, you're talking about just over 300 people turning up at a game in various essential capacities. And all of those people are going to then be at risk of contracting COVID-19 and then bringing it back. They also, it looks like they'll have to spend a good while locked together. So they'll have to be spending times in their hotels during the course of the remainder of the season. So they'll be isolated. That's talked about as a genuine option. It just doesn't seem entirely realistic. The more you think about it, the more people start to get involved in the whole paper. The hotel staff, for example, you know, I mean, just like stuff like that. It just doesn't seem feasible or realistic at this point. You don't know. I mean, if there's a genuine desire for it to happen, then I guess people will find ways of doing it. But it strikes me as being very irresponsible. But we'll see. I mean, I will watch it if it comes on. No question. I'm reconciled to that. Apart from anything else, we're going to have to get used to Geisterspiels all around the world. Because when football does start to come back, it's going to be behind closed doors. So we're going to have to get used to football without fans for a good while. So I might as well start now. But I suspect it's still a downfall idea. I mean, really, I don't think UEFA have helped here. You know, I think Alexander Seferin needs a slap around the face with a wet fish and told to just wake up to what's actually happening. You know, the Dutch government have said we're not doing anything until November. Like, that's it. And the Dutch league have responsibly gone, fine, well, we'll cancel the season. And now UEFA have gone away and said, well, actually, you can't really do that. And it's like, well, really, the answer to that is, well, fuck off, mate. You know, I mean, like, people are dying. Don't be a dick. And I don't think that this is unbelievably selfish. But it also perhaps is an indication of just how much of a perilous state football's finances are in, that they're willing to do these ludicrous things in order, presumably, to satisfy contractual obligations that they have.
Yeah, and this week, Arsenal are due to go back to training as well. But like Terry just described, maintaining social distance, only a maximum five on the training pitch at any one time. Does this strike you as actual training, or is this really just stopping the players from going stir crazy?
Well, I'm not a football coach myself, but I would imagine there's a limit on the effectiveness of having such small groups together, especially if, as Terry said before, if you're preparing for matches. So I suppose probably the best you can hope to get out of it is probably some, you know, getting the midfielders to interact with each other. Maybe get the odd midfielder and attackers to interact with each other in passing and defensive movements and things like that. But really, it's probably just going to be about fitness. And it could well be, you're right, just raising their spirits. I mean, it's a team game. You have to trust your colleagues. Camaraderie is a big part of football teams and how they work. They have to get on to be able to get on, if you like. So I think it will be limited. It's going to be limited. There's no doubt about that. I wonder whether there's a little bit of the football clubs trying to put pressure where they can onto the authorities, the football authorities, possibly the governments, although I think that's pretty ineffective. But putting that pressure on to say, look, we're ready to go. The reality is that they're not going to be for a number of reasons that we've discussed already. If they feel it's safe for their staff to come back to work, which is what this is, then, you know, they need to be sure of their ground. The fact that they're doing this hopefully outdoors, certainly well ventilated areas, so you know, the chances of the virus jumping from one person to another if they are infected is lessened, I suppose. But the reality is, I mean, I still find it really disturbing that people are going back to work when it's not essential. I think they should be staying at home.
Yeah.
Sorry if that was a bit somber.
No, I think that's exactly the tone that is needed. It would be lovely. I mean, I know that we've had the Minister of Culture and Sport coming on saying things like, oh, yes, we need to get football back just for the good of the nation. But I don't know why they're actually saying that. I don't know what is motivating them to do that. If it's good for the football clubs and the broadcasters, then say it. I don't think people are thinking right now with lockdown, I really wish there was some football to watch, because people have got bigger things to worry about, even diehard football fans. And maybe that's just me, but I know we're perhaps not typical of diehard football fans.
Definitely. But for diehard football fans, season ticket holders, I can understand what an absolute wrench this is. They also probably would need to be mindful of the fact that it's going to be a very long time before they're back in their football stadium. A very, very long time, even after lockdown. I mean, if we want some kind of event to cheer the spirits of the nation, then we should, when the lockdown eases and when things start to return to some semblance of normality, is we have a massive Strictly Come Dancing like special. I mean, 7, 8, 9 million people watch those shows, you know, whereas on a good day, you'll get that much for a big World Cup game for football. For Premier League, you don't. The audiences just aren't, they don't justify it there. I suspect that the sports minister was just really more thinking about, in terms of his constituents who are probably chuntering in his ear over Zoom, being listened into by who knows what, that they're taking a bath here and they need some pressure from the government to try and get people attuned to the idea of football coming back sooner rather than later. I mean, like, if you need to raise the spirits of the nation through the form of entertainment, there are far more safer and actually, bluntly, more entertaining ways of doing that that will reach out to a great deal more people in this country than just football fans. So as a sucker for a browbeaten nation, I'm kind of on board with that, but I think it's kind of low down on the list.
It almost makes you think that the same people are saying that football should come back, those people outside of football that are saying that football should come back, are the same people that's saying the cure can't be worse than the disease and other awful phrases like that. I heard the mayor of New York saying the other day, how can it be worse than death? The fact that football's even been considered at this time is, it's in such bad taste.
Those Americans who are going out there in their tens because they don't have a movement and lobbying for the lockdown to be lifted and standing out there and say, give me liberty or give me COVID-19. I just don't think people are necessarily thinking straight at the moment. And completely understandably, these are genuinely unprecedented times and it's difficult to know what to think. I mean, I would love football to come back because I miss it. It didn't for the first few weeks, if I'm being honest with you, but I really miss it now. And I would really like it to come back. I've reduced to watching, you know, repeats on Free Sports of old La Liga games as some kind of methadone. It would be great if it came back, but yeah, it has to be under the right circumstances.
Do you know what's going to be strange, though? When it comes back, if it comes back, the season resumes, it's going to be like when you started reading a book on holiday and you really got into it. And then you got back and you went to work and you forgot all about the book. And then it got to about Christmas time and you went, oh, I forgot all about that book. I better start reading it again. And the first few pages, you're just like, what happened before? What the fuck is going on here? And then you have to go back and work your way through it. And then eventually you probably do end up enjoying it and going from there. I hate that. That happens. What the season's going to be.
We need a 6-part documentary on the Premier League on Netflix. Because everyone's got Netflix now, right? So it doesn't matter. Yeah. On Netflix, just giving us, you know, a blow-by-blow account of what's been happening so far in the Premier League, said we're ready for when it comes back and we're all back up to speed.
Yeah, previously. If there was a quiz now, in fact, I know that I was invited on a football quiz a few weeks ago. I was just thinking, I've got no fucking idea what happened this season. Yeah. I can't remember. That was like 100 years ago.
Yeah, neither have I.
I don't know what's going on.
Which explains my terrible performance on the Football Fives football quiz last week.
Right.
I'm sure there is going to be more twists that actually happen. I mean, even now, today, it came out that the Dutch League are now rethinking their decision after certain clubs are rumoured to have been seeking legal advice. whatever decisions are made about the rest of the season are always going to be fraught with disgruntled people. The lawyers are always going to be rubbing their hands with glee whenever there are disgruntled people around. But as Jan says, as Terry says, talk of finishing the leagues when we're not even allowed to go out is ridiculous and doesn't seem to be helpful as far as how people cope with the current crisis. But we're going to keep on top of it, and we will keep on saying what an awful idea they've just had, because the only ideas that are coming out are the ones that help them pay their bills rather than think about what football is going to be like when it comes back. And we said it right at the start of the crisis that when football comes back, it might be very, very different. That is looking more and more like what is going to happen now. And yes, of course, all the stakeholders, as I called them, they'll still be there in the position of power, but they will have had to be more imaginative in how they package the game. And so we might see a different version of the game. It probably won't be fairer, but football never is it? But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graeme Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye. You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball. Hello? Are you still there? Guys? Not now, grant permission.